Militant Grind, the most honorables. Visit militantgrind.com. Elevate your journey towards mental health and wellness by joining the Militant Grind Academy today. Discover a community where growth, support, and transformation await you. Visit www.militantgrindacademy.com.
This William King Hollis is rocking with Militant Grind.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast featuring Luke Lentz, the 24-year-old CEO of High Key Enterprises, LLC, from launching his first e-commerce venture at 16 with an $8,000 investment to collaborating with A-list celebrities like Kevin Hart and Cardi B and Snoop Dogg, Luke has become a force in the digital branding world. His journey from a teenage entrepreneur to leading a multi-million dollar empire in Puerto Rico is nothing short of inspirational. With an expertise in AI marketing and Gen Z dynamics and featured in Forbes and New York Times, Luke invites us to explore his road to a billion. Dive into this episode as Luke unveils the secrets behind his innovative approach and success in the digital age. Luke, how are you today, sir?
Dude, I'm doing amazing. Thank you for the introduction. I hope to live up to half of it during this podcast.
You already are, man. That's in the past. All of that's in the past, man. So, all right, so let's go into it. What did you do with that $8,000 to turn it into a million?
Yeah, so that was right at the beginning with the first business that we started. So I was grade 10 going into grade 11. And I'm not sure in terms of how many younger generation is listening to the podcast right now, but I think everybody could reflect back on high school and realize that how much free time you had in high school. And so most of the time, like my friends and most of the time that are in people that are in high school, they use that time for like video games, maybe going to parties, where I really looked at it and I wanted to use that free time for something productive, something that could actually work towards the future. And so I wasn't thinking of growing some massive business. I just really wanted to do something that I could make some extra money on the side. And so I thought about this one idea with my older brother and our business partner at the time of completely wireless earbuds. And this was back when there was no wireless earbuds being sold across North America. And so we found a product of wireless earbuds in China that we could wholesale purchase them. And we basically combined all of the money that we had at the time in our life savings. And we wholesale purchased these first edition wireless earbuds. And then we basically had these wireless earbuds and we just needed to find a way to market them. And so the only platform we knew at the time very heavily was Instagram. And so we created relatable Instagram content to the demographic we were going after, which was the younger generation, gained a decent amount of views, like around 1 million views naturally on Instagram, just with a couple of posts, basically turning the page into a meme page. And then we gained a lot of traction just naturally on Instagram. And we ended up selling $40,000 worth of that inventory within the first 4 months going into Black Friday and Christmas. And then we ended up just keep scaling that all the way through Instagram marketing and just with the single product of getting up to seven figures.
Damn, that is cool. And are you from Canada?
Yeah, I am. Do you hear it in the accent?
Bro, I interview so many people from Canada. Oh my God. But you got Canada has a lot of great people, and you guys don't say, you say North America, because I know when you say America, people think of the United States. So it's like some of the terms, but yeah, I definitely could hear it. But yeah, man, that is a definite risk just to say, hey, I'm going to put up $8,000 and buy some of these earbuds from someone in China. So what gave you the confidence to say, okay, I'm going to do this and it's going to work and I'm going to make it happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's like the question of what made you have entrepreneurial tendencies going throughout your lifetime. And it was weird because when I, all the way growing up and all the way to starting up a business, I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. I really thought that I was getting really good grades to go to university. I thought I was going to go to business school and university. And I really thought that I was going to become like an accountant or just some regular job working for somebody else, because I didn't even know what entrepreneurial tendencies look like. But when I reflected back on my childhood, I realized that I did a ton of things that would make up somebody who would become a successful entrepreneur. Like when I was in grade two, I took my little brother's Pokemon cards and I resold them to people in my class, convincing them that they were worth so much and then making a profit on it. In grade nine, I would buy and sell off of Kijiji, which is basically like the Canadian version of Craigslist. I would buy and sell used bikes and used TVs, fix them up, and then resell them for a profit. But I just thought of that as it was using up my time to make some extra cash on the side. Mm-hmm. And then in grade 10, before starting up the first business, I go into sports gambling with my older brother. Now, I don't advise anybody who's listening to this to get into sports gambling, but what I did realize is I lost a ton of money, lost about $6,000 very quickly with sports gambling in high school, which was pretty much my entire life savings right before we started up the business. So I didn't have that much to start up the business with, but I realized that I thought about money differently. Like I was okay. I had an appetite for risk just always, where I didn't care about losing it because in my eyes, it was going to a place of potentially having much larger returns. And that's always just how I thought about money, which I think that's like the biggest thing that sets apart an entrepreneur in this world is your appetite for risk.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like when I look back, I'm like, you know, I was just born to do it. Some people are just born to do it, but then you also have to be a creative person to be an entrepreneur as well. So what you were doing was it takes a very creative mind to even come up with those ideas to say, I think I'm gonna buy this off of Craigslist, fix it up, and then resell it to other people. That's almost genius. I'm sitting here as a grown man, like, why didn't I think of that? You could have bought something, painted it. That would have been easy money. But and also on Craigslist and other sites like that, you could definitely negotiate a good deal.
But this gets into a really interesting conversation. I actually love that you brought this up, of the aspect of creativity with entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things with this. Is one, I personally think that sure, you're born with creativity to a certain extent and some people are born for it, but I actually think that creativity either gets suppressed within you or cultivated within you depending upon the type of people you're hanging out with. Yes. If you're like the school system just naturally like suppresses your creativity levels fully. Everything about the school system is getting you to go through predetermined tests, predetermined courses that like they don't inspire creativity. You're not supposed to go outside of the guidelines that they give you. And then with the people who you spend your time with outside of school, those people could be either talking about things that don't inspire creativity or talking about like ideas. Like I think the reason I became a creative person is because of the types of people I was hanging out. Do you feel the same way?
Hell yeah, by far. Yeah, because I say, when I graduated high school, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to law school, major in political science. And I was like, no, I think I want to do business. And so I started to conform and, okay, I'm going to get myself ready for the corporate world, not thinking about the creative aspects of my life when I created businesses and opportunities and entrepreneurship and things like that. And next thing, life just shifted me to what I've grown to be and who I've always was. That definitely, and it happened to me from a friend of mine. We were in a business association together in college. I've been on them for over 20 years. And a couple months ago, I was talking to him when I was at the grocery store. He said, Sherman, you're a creative. And I was like, what, me? Nah, man, I'm thinking I'm a businessman. No, I'm this. But then he was just like, look at your tattoos. Look at what you post online. Look at how you just come up with these business ideas. And I was like, oh, he's right. Because I have a tattoo artist that you could barely book. And every time I bring him an idea, he's just, what the hell? Like, how did you even think of this? You know what I mean? But he loves it at the same time. Like, I create my own tattoos and I give it to him and say, okay, do this. And he's always amazed. And then I started thinking about how I was growing up and me drawing all the time and listening to music. I was like, oh, now I see. I love being creative more than following a process. Following a process is not for me. I could create the process, but like doing it every day, I'm like, oh my God, like I can't do it, man.
That's so cool, man. And your friend gave you that enlightenment moment where most friend groups don't critically think about the types of people that they're around and they don't have these types of conversations.
Right. No, not at all. No. And the thing is, it's like he lives in Atlanta. I haven't seen him. Oh my God. I think he's since college.
Oh, wow. Week.
Yeah, so it's like we just talk every now and then. But that also had me think, like, I have to be careful about who I give access to. It's, no, you have to limit access from certain type of people, certain energies, because you're trying to become this type of person. So it's like you grow up with people, you want to be loyal to them, but they're not moving up, they're not doing what you're doing. But you want to be loyal, but then you also have access to other people that are doing what you're doing. And you're like, you don't know them that well. And as much as you like the people that you grew up with. So it's like you leave them alone. Now I'm starting to embrace, like, nah, I need you guys to come a little closer. We have some things that we have to talk about and do.
Yeah, dude, I had troubles with that heavily, where during the process of expanding personal development, growing the business, I had to cut off a lot of friends because, and it's very difficult where, especially people who have been a part of your life for so long, that you want to be motivating them and getting them up to the next level with you. And to a certain extent, yes, if they have been around since day one and you're trying to motivate them to a certain extent, yes, that's great. But it comes a point in time where they have to make the change within themselves. And you can only do so much to help motivate that change. And really, you can't ever change somebody. You can motivate somebody to change. And that's usually by leading by example and being the example of what excellence looks like. And then they have to make the decision on their own. And usually, like over a period of time, if they don't make that decision, then they have to get cut off.
Yeah, or they'll just cut themselves off because it's like there's no relations. Like sometimes we don't even have to cut people off. It'll just happen organically because it's not really gonna connect. If you're somebody that's like this and they're like that and you guys come together, there's gonna be some type of form of resistance because your mindset is different than them. People wanna hang out with people that are like them, that could talk about the things they like to talk about. Nobody's going to invite me to a bar because they know I don't drink and they know I don't watch sports and they know I don't care about any of that. So what is the point of asking Sherman to come to a bar? He's going to want to talk about business, life, motivation, money. We're not talking about that. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a barrier to resistance. And it's funny because people say I cut people off. And it's really, you never really have to do that. I've had girlfriends back in the day, whereas we never really officially broke up, we just stopped talking. It just wasn't like I don't want to be with you anymore. It's more like, ah, whatever. Let's just it's like
Dude,
it's gonna
I
happen
like
that
that
way.
you made that differentiation because now that I'm thinking back, it pretty much all the time, it never really is a cutoff. It's just a natural like separation between one another.
And it but then it's I feel like cutting off just sounds harsh to the people that do connect. You know what I mean? It's, I look at it more so, man, we just own different things. We could connect when we do. Still all love, but just know that I'm doing this, you're doing that. It's not matching, and I got to do the best for me. Especially like you're 24 now.
Yeah, I'm 24.
Yeah, so it's like when you're that young, everybody is on the same thing. But as you get older, somebody's gonna get married, somebody's gonna have kids, somebody's gonna go into some type of career, or whatever. It's like your friends are gonna just funnel themselves out. Because, man, I used to hang out with 30 guys. Now that's gone down like dramatically. I'm talking about if it was a birth, if it was somebody's birthday, we were going to a restaurant, we needed at least 20 chairs. Like we were that deep. Hey, we're going here. But now things change, life changed, and it's okay to embrace the change.
For sure. Dude, that was one of my things when I went through high school, is that I'm not sure if you can relate to this, but I had a huge friend group of people who I didn't have deep relationships with, a lot of like surface level relationships that I didn't go deep with a lot of them because my time was spread thin across all of them. And that was one thing I wish I did more in high school, was go deeper on select relationships instead of just having a quantity number of a lot of surface level relationships.
I feel that way actually now because it's like I know, say I met you, you're a successful guy, you're doing your thing. Okay, we have the podcast. All right, cool, we have the podcast, whatever. But then it's like, why am I not connecting with Luke more? We have like minds. We're both doing things. I need marketing. Hell, I have a podcast. Why am I not talking to you and creating a bond and a friendship? You feel what I'm saying? Why am I not, hey man, I'm gonna come to Canada. What are you doing? If you, I'm not sure if you're still out there, but
I
yeah,
actually
you
moved
know.
to Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico. Oh yeah. So I don't even need a pass. I have a passport. I can just pull up. But it's like, Why am I not curating relationships with people that could push my life further? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm at that point now where it's, man, I know millionaires. I know all of these big time people that I have in my phone. I wish I didn't lose my phone, one of my phones in 2016. But it's, if you could connect with people that are about something, create that relationship, curate it. You know what I'm saying? Say, hey, happy holidays. Hey, man, how you doing? Reach out. Because there's a difference between knowing somebody and somebody knowing who you are and curating a relationship with that person, whereas you guys have some type of bond. Like, hey,
I totally
bro,
feel that.
Yeah, happy birthday, something. Because it's, I could say, okay, I got Rick Ross' number in my phone. Okay, what does that mean? Who doesn't have his phone number? You know what I'm saying? What does that mean? And it's funny, you got a picture with Rick Ross, the rapper. I actually had an interview with Freeway Rick Ross, like the real Rick Ross, which is a friend of mine. You know what I'm saying? So if I call him, hey, what's up, Sharon? Our podcast together. He's like, yeah, man, I've been knowing you since you. So when I tell people, I'm like, nah, man, it's not that I know him. Like, nah, we really know. I know his mom. I met his wife. I met his kids. I talked to his brother. You know what I mean? I went by, we went places together. We, you know what I'm saying? Really create these relationships with people that can help, not just because so they can help further you. It is that way, but it isn't. You know what I'm saying?
No, dude, for sure. I was talking with some younger people who were just getting into entrepreneurship. It was 2 18-year-olds. I just jumped on a phone call with them because I wanted to help them out with some things. But one thing that they asked me was, how do you attract mentors? Like, how do you get mentors in your life? Because so many people talk about like having higher level relationships, being around people who are higher level than you, mentors. And it's, people always talk about this, but then they don't talk about how to actually get them. And the basis is you don't go out and are DMing people like, want to be my mentor and stuff. What happens is you just get placed in rooms with higher level people. As you are on your grind and working towards people, you're naturally going to be placed in front of mentors. And the way that you attract them is by having a very just curious and very like energetic personality, because usually people who are older want to hang around with people who are younger because they give them something that money can't buy, which is like that childlike curiosity, that childlike energy that every single older person, mentor, that's like willing to give teachings wants.
Yeah, I would say the way that I did it was basically creating value within myself and figuring out a way that I could help them. Because I wouldn't want nobody just calling me, asking me advice all day. So I was just like,
so true.
How could I create you? And, you know, hey, man, could I help you with this? Could I make calls for you? Could I bring you business? If I bring you opportunity, would you give me a percentage? You know what I mean? What can you do to help that person and in return have them help you? Because basically, if you're willing to work with them, for them, or whatever, they're going to teach you the process. I have a mentor. He's not really, he probably wouldn't even say he is, but he is in a way to me. He's in the process of buying a Major League Baseball team. I heard him on the phone with the bank and arguing and back and forth. And the way he became my mentor was that we were doing business together. He was a real estate broker. I was in real estate. I would partner up and do deals with him. And that's how we created a relationship. But trust me, if it wasn't about that, he probably wouldn't look my way. You know what I mean? Like, why? For what? I'm too fucking busy. Like, I'm not gonna, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like you just gotta have a creative angle to get to people. It's like, what can you do for me? You know what I mean? You could say, hey, I can help market your business. I'll do it for free for 30 days. Just give me a chance, whatever, whoever, A-list celebrity. I'll show you the results. I'll do it for free. Why would they say no? You know what I mean? Why would they not want to connect with you if you give them an opportunity like that?
For sure. Someone like us could do that because we have the brand and the credibility behind it where we've worked with people like that. Mm-hmm. But on the contrary, if somebody's just getting started and says, hey, can I do this for you? And they don't have any track record, very high level people will often say no to that because it's a bigger risk for them to take on something where they would rather just pay for it and know that it can get done well.
If they have the skill and it's effortless to them and they could show them something, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to step it up before you even come to high level people. High level people don't have time. It's like you probably have to start with low, mid, and then you go high. It's a process. And that's how I look at it, because some people, like, I'll be like, man, you cool, but I really don't have the time to hold your hand like that. Like, I have way too many things going on. But if you want to work together and me give you an opportunity to bring me money that'll bring you money, then okay, cool, let's do it. If somebody says, hey, say I do taxes, right? I've been doing it for years, it's low key. And somebody's like, hey, bro, can you teach me to do taxes? No. Why would I teach you how to take money away from me? And what are you going to offer me to teach you? You should say, how much would you charge me to teach me how to do taxes? Then I'll be like, oh, okay. Or, hey, bro, can I work with you in your company doing taxes? Oh, okay. Then you could just chill, take the work with me, learn for a year, and then start your own thing. But people don't think like that. Like, a lot of people got on by being interns for companies first. And then they developed. People work for free for like hard as hell for free. But I guess with the instant gratification type of style now, it's, man, you got to bring something. It's always been like that. You have to bring something to the table, always.
For sure, man. You can't ever skip steps in life or business. You gotta crawl before you walk before you run.
Yeah, because you can't say, hey, I'm a nice guy. I think I can. No, man, you gotta. I want to see a website. I want to see this. Me personally, I'm very decisive on who I work with. You cannot tell me that you do something, then I look at your presentation and it's not within the realm of people that do that kind of work. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be on point because everybody's time is limited and we don't know when we're gonna leave this earth. So that's what I say to young people, is have some value, bring some value to the table.
For sure.
Yeah, man. So what are you working on next?
The main thing we're working on is the main lesson that I've learned, honestly, over the past 2 years is that aspect of focus. I just created a YouTube video on this and a blog post about how important focus is. And I actually think it's the number one skill set in this like age era that leads to financial success because the fact of the matter, any single person listening to this podcast could get rich, could become successful, could become great at a skill set, could become shredded, whatever they want. And the only thing that's stopping them is the focus of getting there. And so we live in a world that's constantly distracting. These social media applications literally have attention engineers hired at these platforms that they spend millions. Tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for the sole purpose of keeping you addicted to the platforms. And every single thing in this entire world right now is trying to pull you in every direction besides going to your goals. And so there's focus on the micro level and then focus on the macro level. And so what I'm honestly trying to do is just stay as focused as possible on the micro every single day. And then on the macro, staying as focused as possible just on our core business, which is a public relations firm right now. Because whenever I've deviated from that, tried to start up a new business, tried to invest into other businesses, every single time it's failed miserably. Like that time could have been 10x spent if it was just focused on the main thing.
Damn. That's a bar, man. I'm so mad we can't go longer. That's honestly, bro. I've experienced that so much. It's, if you would have just kept your head down and not let anything else steer you away from what you were doing, you probably would have been crazy successful because opportunities come your way. It may be good, it may be bad, but it's still taking your focus away from something that could grow exponentially into a great thing. And that takes a hell of a discipline, man, because sometimes I'll present an opportunity to somebody and they'll be like, no, man, I'm not thinking. And I'll be like, why not? We're making money. But then they're trying to build something and they can't be distracted. But now I'm more so, man, I need to build something that could be sustainable, that I can control, that no one else could take from me. Government entity, nobody. I often tell people, I was just like, man, like, I have my insurance license, real estate license, tax license, car sales and license, and everything. I had an intermediary, which is the government. But I was just like, man, no matter what, nobody could ever stop Kanye West from making money. No, but never, there will never be a time in that man's life when he's broke.
He's done everything possible to that he could get thrown in jail, get like decensored across all social media applications, and that dude is still making millions.
Come on, bro. that's how powerful he is. I was just like, bro, that was like the bro. We already know the stuff that he said, but it's like he's still kicking out because of the work that he's done with his brand. It's like this guy is unstoppable, and he's in full control of his life. And I was just like, man, that might be one of the most powerful things I have ever witnessed. Golly, but yeah, man, it's just amazing. That's an amazing lesson, bro. Like, work on something you can't control.
Dude, one thing that actually came to mind as I was thinking about focus and something that you said is that I don't think anybody actually talks about this on the internet is that when you're focused on the micro and macro, every single part of your life, when you have everything focused in, it actually brings an unbelievable amount of peace and freedom in your life. I'll give some examples. One example, as you said, for example, you have the focus of aspects of your value system. One of the values that you have is that you don't drink. Do you know how much of a freedom and peace that is to have a concrete focus on that area of your life? Mm-hmm. Then it makes it so easy to say no to things. That's the hardest thing, is that being indecisive. And that's the things that brings us stress and anxiety in life, is that when we're indecisive, when we can't make decisions quickly, and the reason we can't make decisions quickly, or we're indecisive, or we flutter with indecisions, is because we don't have a focus on every aspect of our life. If you're focused in the work that you do, it's so easy to say no to every single other opportunity that comes your way. If you're focused in the exact type of woman that you want, it's so easy to not get distracted in the world of dating. If you're focused in your values, it's so easy to say no to going to the club, to drinking alcohol, because that's the focus that you have in your life.
Mm-hmm. Way easy. Way easy. Man, you gave so many bars. We got to do this again, man.
Dude, sorry, man. Sorry that I can't go over, but dude, let's for sure jump on again, 100%.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. So where can people find you?
Yeah, if anybody wants to watch more, I would say YouTube at Luke Lentz. I don't have that many subscribers, but I've been posting some crazy value on there, and I'm just going to continue to post. I'm not selling anything. Literally don't sell anything. I'm just trying to help the younger generation.
Man, thank you so much, Luke, man. Appreciate you, bro. I'm definitely going to connect with you a lot more. We have some things to talk about. And yeah, bro, have a great rest of your day, man.
For sure. You too, Sherman. Appreciate it.
Peace.
Take care. See you, man.